I want to thank the Lord for being here because I want to talk tonight about one of my favorite and all-time topics that it grasps me and it tugs at my heart. I want to talk about Holy Communion. And I'm going to be coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can be finding your place. But in order to talk about the communion, we first of all got to learn a little history. So our journey is going to start back in the Old Testament. I'm not going to do the scriptures, I'm just going to tell you about it. But our journey starts back in the Old Testament, back in Exodus 12. I'd like you to go back and read after this message, Exodus chapter 12. And it's when the Passover was implemented for the first time. God was going to do something great and wonderful for His people. And he's already had been doing some amazing things, the plagues that came upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had hardened his heart and would still not let his people go. So now we're coming down to the finale of those plagues. And during that finale, what had happened was he was going to take the firstborn. And so God commanded Moses to go to the people of Israel, and he gave them specific instructions on how to do all this, but I'm just going to summarize. They needed to kill a lamb or goat, and they needed to take the blood and put it on both sides of the door and also up on the top doorpost, it says, what we would call the lintel. Now, if you think about that, the scripture doesn't tell us that, but it actually makes a symbol what might look like the hands and the head of Jesus Christ as the blood is spilled on both sides. And when the angel comes by, he will pass over those houses and not take their firstborn. And as you know, the result was all through Egypt, the firstborn of every family had died, but none in the land of Israel, or at least in their houses where they were living. And so the people of the Hebrew children at that time, the people that were Hebrews did not lose their firstborn. And so it was the final thing that let Pharaoh cause them to let them go. And so God divinely intervened on their behalf. And so now we're going to jump before I do that, I want to mention the fact that what God had referred to this as, the Passover, was a holy, key word, holy convocation. Or you might even say it was a holy assembly. Kind of like what we have here. We are assembled here tonight. We're listening to the message of the Passover. And hopefully very shortly we're going to participate in a holy communion, a very reverent memorial. And so God calls this in Exodus 12:16 a holy convocation. So this is something that we need to take seriously. It's not something to be done lightly. Communion is such a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it cannot be done without at least serious consideration. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed, everybody knows the story, it's in all the Gospels. Judas had already sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. But at the time, Jesus was celebrating, or at least having the Passover supper with his disciples. And then came that time when he decided to explain the new thing that was coming. Oh, this is what's for us, folks. It was this new thing that's coming that had been promised for so long, and it was finally going to happen and be fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Listen to the scripture as we read from 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23. It says, "For I have received," this is Paul talking, by the way, "for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." Verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Here's the command. "This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, and we're going to pause on this verse. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And the reason I'm pausing at verse 25, because this is what we're celebrating tonight. This is what we're remembering tonight, is this portion of the scripture. And when God once again was going to intervene on man's behalf, he was bringing in a New Testament, or you could even say a new covenant with mankind. Through Jesus Christ, we would now be reconciled to God if we would come to him and put our trust in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so God again, once again, was going to deliver not just the people from back in the days of the Hebrew children, but now all mankind. All mankind now, very soon, will have a means to come to God. Up until this point, we had all been separated from God. We had been distanced from God. And Jesus Christ has come to rectify that situation, to fix it, in layman's terms. So here, and also, it was a new and far more excellent bond of friendship with God. I mean, Paul now says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, whereas before it was a fearful thing. And in some ways it still should be, a reverent fear to come. I feel like some days in this country we have lost a fear or a reverence for Almighty God. We take his name in vain in many places. It's used as a curse word in some places. And I don't know, my heart breaks, my body cringes every time I hear it. And the thing is, we do it so lightly. It's so every day. But now we're into a New Testament, a new covenant. And this is coming through his blood, or through the shedding of his blood. And this is what I want you to grasp, because only by the blood of the sacrifice can wash away our sins. Only through, and Jesus Christ was the final and last and best sacrifice ever given to mankind. And so this promise was given, and Jesus was the one to fulfill it. And so he gave us this command. So when he talked about the bread and the wine, and to do this, about his body, his bread being the body that is broken for us, for you. And then he said his blood, and he drank, and he gave it to the rest. He said, this is my blood that will be spilled for you. And to do this, this is a command. This is not a recommendation. Do this. Why? To remember him, in remembrance of him. And so by this holy convocation, this holy assembly here tonight, we're going to have a holy communion to remember Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so by this observance, Christ wants us to remember everything about him. So what is it about Jesus Christ that we need to remember? First of all, his love. Jesus did not have to go to the cross. He even told him at one point, he said, don't you know, right now I could call 12 legions of angels and they would deliver him. They would have done it on the spot. In the Old Testament, there was one angel that destroyed 185,000 men. A legion is at least 1,000, if not 6,000. 12 legions of angels, they could have wiped this planet away. Jesus had them at his command at any moment. And I'm convinced that they were ready, just waiting for the word to come. But he loved you so much, God loved you so much, that he was not going to give that command. And he was going to shed his blood and suffer a horrible horrible death. His forgiveness that comes through the shedding of blood. He now has given this offer of forgiveness and the purpose, the reason he came, a new hope to have eternal life, and the fact that his presence and his power, I mean, he had the power to call down the angels, but did not. I don't know if I would have had the power to resist. Think about that. The power to resist of getting out of that situation. That temptation may have overwhelmed me. So this is a memorial that we are to be repeated. It's a memorial that we don't just do once and that's it. We repeat this memorial so that we will continue to remember. I want to read verse 26. Verse 26 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians says this, "For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." So what does it mean when it says to shew the Lord's death? Well, it means to announce, to declare, or to make known, or to proclaim publicly, or to publish, or maybe it's an act of celebration. We celebrate the fact, even though he died a horrible death, we celebrate the fact that he did it for me, he did it for you. And now we have a means to come to God and be reconciled back to God. And so to prepare for the Holy Communion, what must we do to prepare? Well, first of all, you have to remember that it is a holy time. This is not to be taken lightly. This is a holy convocation. It's a holy assembly. It should be done in reverence to the Lord, to remember him and what he has done. It's a time to examine ourselves. The scripture says in one place, to examine yourselves, to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. And it also should give you a heightened sense of unworthiness of God's grace. We sing Amazing Grace, but I wonder if we really listen to the words. Amazing Grace. How amazing it was for Christ to die on the cross. Of course, we know he resurrected again, but the fact that he died, and he died in a human body, suffered the same pain and agony as a human normally would. And he did it all for us so that we could be reconciled back to God. It is such an amazing grace that none of us are worthy. So in reality, no one is truly worthy to take the Lord's Supper. None of us in here. The scripture says somewhere in Isaiah 64 and 6, that all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. All of our righteousness. None of us are truly worthy. But it should bring also, and finally, the awareness of sin in our life. The sin should not keep us away from the communion. I would pray that you will contribute and participate into the communion. But it should bring a heightened sense of your life, how you are with God, how you feel toward God, and how you accept Jesus Christ. So this should bring, it reminds me of the tax collector who was in the temple. And I know you know this story, so I won't tell it word for word. But the thing is, you had a Pharisee who was probably one of the most respected and most religious type in the whole people all around him. But you had this one tax collector far back, and he couldn't come to the front. He had to be far back. And the Pharisee was up there bragging about all the things, good things that he had done, but the tax collector, all he could say, he couldn't even lift his head. That's what breaks my heart. He couldn't even lift his head. He felt a heightened sense of unworthiness in God's temple. And all he could say was, "Lord, be merciful to me, a what? A sinner." And Jesus said, he, not the Pharisee, that man went to his house justified. In other words, God took notice. God took notice because the man's heart was broken over his sin. And so tonight, to prepare for communion, let us think about ourselves and how we behave toward one another. How much love do we show toward one another? And not only that, but how do we show love to our fellow man? Not just inside these doors, but when we go outside these doors. This is a time to reflect and to think. And I want to end, before we actually do the actual communion, I want to end with an illustration. Imagine, now this is not in the scripture, so it's just something I want you to imagine with me. Imagine Jesus Christ is on the cross, and God the Father is standing with his back to Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When all the sin of the world was laid on his shoulders, on his body, God turned his back on sin. But at the same time, he held his hand out to you. And so here I am now, standing looking at the cross. God the Father is reaching out to me, and I see Jesus dying on the cross. But when I look at myself, I notice all the sin. If you could imagine the sin covering my body as if, like Job, sores, boils, and all kinds of places that break out. The sin wants to hold on. It doesn't want to let go. Sin wants to take hold and never let you go. In fact, the problem with sin is that we get used to it. We begin to embrace it. We begin to think it's normal. It's natural to look as ugly as this, with all these sores, these scabs, and these things. We're so ugly in our sin. But God the Father is holding his hand out. He's holding his hand out. And you're looking at Jesus. And finally, Jesus says, it is finished. It's done. The sacrifice has been made. And so now, if you would be willing to reach back to the Father and grab hold of his hand, Jesus made that possible. He made that possible. So tonight, I invite you to remember these words. And as we participate in the Holy Communion, that I would like you to remember all of this. So I want to pray right now, and then we will get started with the communion. Heavenly Father, I have given the words that I feel that you have given me. I pray now that the Holy Spirit will reach out and touch all the souls that are present in this building. Lord, I pray that you will move upon us. We don't have to move out of our seat. We could just say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you will hear us. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ, if we hold on to your hand, you will guide us. Almighty God, I pray during this holy moment that we will reflect upon our own sin and denounce it and shun away from it and turn away and turn our hearts and our minds to Christ. So Lord, as we participate in this holy communion, take with us, Lord, the lessons we've learned here tonight. And I pray, God, that you will bless each and every person. In the name and for the sake and for the glory of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen.